Get ready. It's time to tee it up with Keith Jones.
Coming up on today's show, we welcome longtime golf instructor Jim McClain as he breaks down the swing like no other. So stay tuned to get ready as you tee it up with Keith Jones. Welcome to the show. So glad to be along. This hour, one of the great guys on the planet as far as golf, or just as a person in general, and a guy who's kind of become a friend. And you can run into Jim McClain anywhere in the world. And sometimes it's in Augusta, and sometimes it's in Florida, and sometimes it's, I don't know, these days it's in Seattle. But let's welcome the renowned golf instructor, Jim McClain, back to the show. Jim, thanks so much for coming on, my friend.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Keith. Looking forward to speaking with you.
Well, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure. I know we don't get a chance to get you on often enough, but you're so busy with your golf schools around the world, your world headquarters in Coral Gables. And I went to a wedding in Coral Gables earlier this year, and I know firsthand how nice that area is.
Yeah, well, thank you. It is a great place. I'm very fortunate to live down there. And you mentioned we have a place up here in Seattle now, a little place, so it's nice to come for a few months up here as well.
Well, you just jump on the McClain Airlines and off you go. You know, that private flying stuff is pretty good.
Well, we're going to South Korea here, so it's going to be a lot shorter flight from Seattle, that's for sure. And I'm going there next week. Looking forward to that. So that's the next thing on the hit parade.
That's good, because the Koreans and Asia in general really just so enamored with the game and so studious and so enthralled.
Well, they really are. I've got a really great person there, Joseph Kim, who runs the facility for me. I was supposed to go a few years ago, but the COVID changed everything for us, and we were really delayed on that. So this is the first time I've, been able to make that trip. So I'm really looking forward to going to Korea. It's in Seoul, and as you said, they really love the game over there. We have a very, very busy place, and I'm going to do a couple things on the Golf Channel over in South Korea too. So I'm really looking forward to this trip.
So the Mayfield Hotel is involved. How is that facility set up?
Well, it's really a driving range. It's a gigantic facility in Seoul. It's got four levels to it, and it's got a really nice location. And I don't know how many stalls it has. You need a tee time to get one, and we have a nice area there to teach. So it's a little bit different, but it's a beautiful range, and we got everything, all the technology to use there. So it's really nice, and like I said, this will be my first trip over there. We've had the school for this will be the seventh year, so I really have been a little late getting over there, but looking forward to it.
All right, when a guy as prominent as Jim McClain travels and golfers spot you, I mean, what is that experience like?
Well, it surprises me sometimes, but people have seen you in different the Golf Channel and different places. I suppose at the tour events, they see you at me at the major championships. I'm doing the SiriusXM the SiriusXM shows that I've done for a long time, and then podcasts and things that I do with you and other people. So a lot of people come to our golf schools, so we have pretty serious exposure. I did a 10-part series with Golf Pass that's been running And, you know, I guess that's where people, you know, run you down, spot you out there.
So you mentioned satellite radio. Obviously, this is a broadcast as well. Very proud about that. Longest running national radio show involving golf. So that's always very proud. But it's guys like you that come on the show that my guest list is what I'm most proud of and such. But when you were doing your show, people don't realize how much work goes into that, how much extra time you have to spend. Did other things get in the way, and are you still doing a specific show, or that's done?
No. Yeah, I did the show for 6 years. It was called Golf School, and it still is running on Saturdays and Sundays. And again, it's like anything in life, just about it. Nothing is easy. It's a little bit harder than you expect, and it's a lot harder than you expect. There's a lot of preparation and knowing what's going on, the latest and greatest things that are going on in golf, and then talking for an hour about golf is just something you have to be prepared for, and it takes preparation. So what you do is not easy, and of course having different people on to talk is helpful. When you get to talk for an hour by yourself is really not what I should be doing.
So says the great Jim McClain. Yeah, valuable points right there, indeed. Because I orate, I host, and I appreciate my listeners respect what I have to say and listen to what I have to say. And says, but it's about the guests. I say, look, it's like Jim and I are at a cocktail party, and you're overhearing our conversation. And that's pretty much how this show goes. And it's great because, you know, I give my guests, especially of your stature, enough time that we can just peel back the layers. We're not just talking about certain things or whatever. And you and I have known each other for quite a long time now. Over the years, I look back and I found a show from 2015, and I think there's some other stuff you're on before that. So you've been coming on here on and off for probably close to at least 15 years. But it's what your knowledge is and what you know. But it's one thing being on your side of the microphone. It's another thing being on my side. But I consider myself a pretty good interviewer. You know, it's kind of casual talk and stuff. But getting knowledge from people like you, Jim, is just so important, because I like to learn something every show I do. But it's really about the listeners getting a chance to hear guys like you expels the things that you know, and those tidbits and those stories and things. That's what makes it great.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. I know you had the opportunity to come down to see us one time. We just, as we started this show, just before we came on, you mentioned Mark Castorini, who you worked with when you came down to the Biltmore, and it might have been at Doral. I'm not sure.
It was Doral. Yeah, Doral. Yeah. Which is a great facility.
Well, Mark worked for me for 22 years, and he got cancer, and he battled it hard, and he passed away about 1 week ago. It was very sad. We had all of our teachers, of course, felt terrible about this, and he had worked at a lot of places. During the summer months, he would come down in the winter and teach for me. But he worked at Century in New York for quite a few years, and then he moved up to the Atlantic Club, two of the great clubs in New York. And he was beloved up there. And then all the years that he was able to come down and teach for us in South Florida, he was the Teacher of the Year in South Florida, which encompasses hundreds and hundreds of golf clubs down here and a lot of good teachers. He was a Teacher of the Year, and I know you had a good time with him.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah. I'll take that spin since we've lost Mark. Now he was pretty tough. He made McClain seem like a walk in the park. That's, you know, it was great. You know, it's always great to work with you personally, but you're a busy guy and you have, you know, things to do and paperwork and everything else. So Jim turns me over to Mark. And Mark was a taskmaster, and I'm okay with that, because you're trying to get somebody to progress. And if you see things in people, perhaps a little bit of ability or some hand-eye coordination or some possibilities, you try to bring the best out of them.
Oh, no question. And He was all in his lessons, and he was not somebody there just hanging out and kind of casually watching the set of lessons. He really wanted you to get better, and he pushed people, and he expected them to listen, and he expected them to do what he told them to do. And he was a, like you said, he was a forceful teacher, but most people, I would say, really appreciate that. And they want to get better. That's why they're there for the lesson. And Mark was pretty demanding, like you said, but he was a great guy. And his goal was to make sure that when you left that lesson, that you had a game plan, that you knew exactly what he told you, and that you had good things, exercises, and drills to work on.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. He came on this show a couple of times. I tricked him into it, and he was, you know, kind of that way on the air too, because he had his. I mean, you don't become Teacher of the Year by not being successful at what you do. And teaching the game of golf is so difficult. I have great admiration for two segments of the industry. One is golf course architecture, and the other one is golf instruction. Now, there's so many teachers out there now, but there are very few in the hemisphere of this hour's guest, Jim McLean. So when your name is on the building and when you have these golf schools around the world, there are expectations on both sides. But from your standpoint, you've studied the golf swing so much and broken it down and the X factor and all that kind of stuff. But when you have somebody in front of you, how do you take that person and progress, because that person is different than this other person, which is different than this other person?
Well, you have to be very good at noticing things quickly, and that would be just about everything that that person says and does, is the equipment they have, where they're hitting the ball on the club face, the shafts that they have in the clubs. Then you're looking at their golf swing. You're getting a look at it. All of my teachers are trained really hard on videoing, and we do studies every year, and we have a system really of teaching beginner golfers or the infrequent golfer and pretty much an idea of how to teach them. And then we have the middle range golfers, say from about a 9 handicap to a 20, 25 handicap, the normal golfer in America, on good ideas on what we should be teaching at that level. And then we have the advanced players, and then you can start to add on more detail and talk a little bit more about the big muscle swing and using the body a little bit better and things like that. But I think we're having the ability to go to these Monday meetings we have where everybody participates and everybody gets to talk, and we have one or two main subjects at each meeting, and we talk about the students that we teach, how to teach them, what ideas we use, what drills we use, and we have quite a few people in these meetings, and we take, good notes. We have people stand up and present, which is harder than you expect, you know, when you have to get up and talk for 10 or 15 minutes on a subject, and you're talking in front of your peers, in front of golf pros, then you can't really BS too much. You got to have quality stuff to say. You've got to be able to articulate what you're saying. And then we all learn from that.
10 or 15 minutes can be an eternity. With the great Jim McLean, we'll be back. Hey, we are back, and it's a pleasure to spend some time with a really, really good guy, Jim McLean. I know he heard me say that, I know, but still, I'm going to say it anyway, and that's what it is. But Jim is gracious enough to join us a few times during the year because he's a busy man. He's running a bunch of golf schools. He'll be at Red Ledges later on. And of course, he's based out of the Biltmore and Coral Gables. Just a lot of great stuff going on with Jim McLean besides him teaching the world of golf. And I found it interesting in our last segment. You gave a student range of a 9 handicap to a 25 handicap in the same clump. That's mm-hmm. a big difference in handicaps.
It really is. It's a big difference, but people that have played more golf, they have the ability to learn more. Obviously, it's not going to be exactly the same, but they can get the idea of an inside attack track. They can learn to draw the golf ball. I think that's really important, that the majority of people learn to hit the ball from the inside. They learn to hit a draw. They learn to move their body to lead with the lower body and to start the swing in sequence. Beginners we're really working on more simple things of a quiet head, more of an arm swing, but teaching short shots, getting the hands forward when you hit the ball, hitting down on the ball with the irons. You know, those are more beginning ideas to play the game. And then when we get to advanced players, then we're talking about left hand action, be the opposite of the beginner player. It's really quite different teaching as we start teaching better players. And I would include good players at private clubs. I think they can do a lot more with better use of the hands. They can start to move the ball both ways. They can hit different types of shots and certainly different types of short game shots. They get a bigger array of instruction. And I think on-course instruction then becomes even more important as you get to be a better player.
Jim McLean is Golf Digest top 100 ranked teachers, emeritus. I mean, he's up there. He wasn't in the last list. It's because when I talk to the people at Digest, they're like, well, why would we – look, we're trying to get some fresh guys in there, some guys, some notoriety. McLean, Ledbetter, those guys, Butchie, they're already in that stratosphere. They're not coming off that. So, you know, it's – but it is important, I think, for credibility standpoint, even for you or for self-satisfaction, to see your name in print on those lists.
Well, that's probably true. I think some of us are still that. I mean, I think there's definitely people when they put you on a legends list. I think it's pretty much because you're not teaching anymore. It's kind of over. But I think still some of us are teaching quite a bit. I know I'm teaching a lot. I'm doing a lot of golf schools. I'm traveling a lot, speaking a lot, doing a lot. But that's just the way they want to do it, and I think that's exactly right. They wanted to get more guys on the list that haven't been on there, and it's kind of boring having the same people up there. And there's a lot of great teachers. Really, there's a lot of tremendous teachers out here all over the United States, and they don't get as much recognition as they should. It's very hard to pick a list, let's say, to begin with.
No kidding.
Yeah, so who have you worked with? Are you getting people better? Who are you developing?
Yeah, it could be pretty subjective. Pretty subjective. But you are a legend, okay? So let me say that. And while I appreciate you making time to come on the show, again, for the same thing I asked about when people see you and figure out it's Jim McLean, you know, being called legend, that's, you know, you're living legend. I mean, you are the, you know, the next. You know, Toski's old enough to have been the godfather, and then you guys really picked up the torch and went, you know, and to reach where you are is one thing, but there aren't that many people that are at that level.
Well, thanks. It's been fun for me to do the golf schools, that's for sure, and we have so many young guys, and I think that's really a fun thing for me. and to see them progress and go on and do some great things. A lot of them stay. I know this year, Eric Compton's going to come teach for us, which is pretty cool.
That's really nice. Let's pick up that when we come back from this break. Eric Compton, it's been a long time since I talked to him. He was on this show many, many years ago. But we're with Jim McLean right now, heading to the bottom of the hour. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Bob Toski, and you're listening to Tee It Up with Keith Jones. And we'll be right back. I'll keep my pants on.
The Dalai Lama. So I'm on a first tee with him. I give him the driver. He hauls off and whacks one. Big hitter.
The Lama.
Long. Into a 10,000 foot crevice right at the base of this glacier. You know what the Lama says? Gunga Galunga. Gunga, Gunga la Gunga.
We're back to start the second half hour of the show, spending it with the legend, Jim McLean. Yes, I'll use that living legend moniker on him because he said it first. But before we went to the break, he mentioned Eric Compton's name, and I haven't talked to Eric in, like, forever, but there is a guy who's an interesting story unto himself. How do you get that guy into your stable?
Well, he's been playing the Korn Ferry Tour. He played 6 years on the PGA Tour and a lot of years on the Korn Ferry Tour, Web.com Tour. He was runner-up in a U.S. Open. He's won on the Korn Ferry Tour. He's won in Europe. He's been close to winning on the PGA Tour, but he was the number one junior in America and a USA Walker Cup player. And what's really amazing about Eric Compton is he's had two heart transplants. So he's won awards, S awards, and a lot of other things. He's done amazing things for people in the transplant of America and all over the He goes to hospitals every week that he plays. He's young kids. He's an inspiration. Anyway, and I started working with Eric when he was just a kid after his first heart transplant. And, you know, it's just been a friend of mine forever. And he's just he's played a long career. You know, he's got a daughter. He lives really close to the Biltmore. We had a long talk. I said, "Are you sure you want to do this?" Most tour players, you know, they've lived a different life, and to teach is it's quite different. And I told him, I said, "You know, tour players teach their own swing, and that's a dangerous thing. So I've got to teach him a little bit more about teaching all golfers, and he's up for it now." He's going to start this fall, so it's going to be it'll be fun for us. I know he's been bringing a lot of corporate. He's got a lot of friends everywhere.
That's still a great get for you guys, because to have a guy of that stature, and it's ironic that you mentioned him going to the hospitals, because that's exactly one of the places I saw him last when he was over at I think it was Children's Hospital, actually, when he was in D.C. for an event. And now, to have a guy like that who's got a bit of a name and also has a purpose in life, that's congratulations. That's a great thing for the McLean Golf Schools.
It really is. Real happy about Eric, for sure.
Well, you're a guy, besides knowing the golf swing, you were a successful collegiate golfer. You won some tournaments in the Pacific Northwest, a number of college tournaments, amateurs. I mean, you come with a lot of experience that I think it's forgotten because you've been teaching so successfully for so long.
Well, I think what's helped me with good players, amateurs and pros is I've teed it up in tour events and U.S. Opens and the Masters and I've had good chances to win the U.S. Amateur and stuff like that and won in college. So I know what it's like coming down the stretch. I know what it's like to to be, you know, have some heat on you, and it's different. You know, it's not the same. It's easy to tell people what to do, but a lot of people haven't really done it, you know, and I think that's helped me in my life, and especially knowing a lot of the guys that I played a lot of golf with, and that gave me a big head start in teaching, and teaching, you know, a few hundred tour players in my life, and working with, you know, a lot of good players. That gives you credibility, and that's been something that's certainly helped the golf schools for sure, you know, and people want to be around people that have had some success and that are immersed in the game. And that's what I've tried to do, you know, to keep learning, keep having, you know, the best technology at our schools, and keep hiring good people, and keep learning. And I think that's a big thing.
Yeah, I think all those things are so important. And to have that playing experience, I think, sets certain instructors apart. And that's how Toski got started, because Toski was successful on the PGA Tour, and then he left and he started teaching, and he's still teaching to this day, and he's a little older than Jim. So, see, you got a long ways to go, because Toski's going to be 98 in September on the 18th.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got you lapped a couple times, so you got a ways to go. Besides, Jim's wife will not let him retire. He's not allowed.
No.
He's not a gardener. He's not allowed. But I mention that because I think that it gives you a totally different perspective. So you out playing competitively and being successful playing as well, and then teaching the game, which is the other side of the coin. So those things really, I think, benefit the student much more than they realize as well. And from a teaching standpoint, an instructor standpoint, it makes you much more uniquely qualified to get them to understand what's going on.
Well, I played in a little tournament yesterday at Tacoma Country Club, which most people are not going to know, but so many tremendous players grew up there. Andrew Putnam was in the group behind me, a tour winner, and let me see, Andres Gonzalez and the Putnam brothers were both great. And let me see, I'm thinking of if there's a few other guys that actually played on the PGA Tour, but they get all of these pros to come in and play within this pro-am, which was really cool. So I had three members there from Tacoma, and you know, you still feel pressure. You still want to go out and play decent. And I think it's important for teachers to get out there and you know, try to hit the shots. Not that it was not a big deal, just a pro-am thing. It was, you know, but it's still, you know, going out and playing and you know, trying to play halfway decent and make the putts and do all the shots. I didn't really play too great, to be honest with you. Did a few good shots. But it's still fun to get out there and we played in a thing called a horse race. Have you ever heard of that?
I have not. Pray tell.
Well, after the tournament, we had a ton of guys playing in this thing, but your team plays in you can play this a lot of different ways, but you start off, all the teams start off at some different holes, and then you eliminate teams.
Oh.
If there's a tie, then you do a chip-off. But you keep eliminating until you get down to the final four playing. And I'll tell you what, it was dark, and it gets a little nippy here in Seattle. It was like 50 degrees colder than when I left Miami. But, it was a lot of fun. And we snuck in there, but we finished in third place. But I actually made a little money there for that, so I was happy to cash out. And so it's not easy to make money in golf, I can tell you that.
That's good. That's why you have to teach. He made a little cash on the course. He is the pro in the pro am. Just for the record. He's been on a member of the tour since 1982.
You need good partners.
Know. Yeah.
Good partners. This is the key. Yeah.
That is spoken like a true guy in the know right there.
Yeah.
You need good partners and stuff.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. Too much. So a guy that's been having a lot of success lately and will be involved with the Ryder Cup is a guy named Keegan Bradley. And his play of late really has resurfaced on such a level where you know Keegan can play, but you don't always see to the degree that we've seen lately.
Yeah, he just snuck in the low 50, got into that second playoff series, and then he won it last week. So that really skyrocketed him up with a chance to win the FedEx Cup, which is, as we know, huge money. I think it's, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's like 25 mil.
Yeah, it went up. It used to be 10, as if 10 million wasn't enough. Right now, Jim, I'd split it with you and we'd still be okay. The 10 million.
They start Scotty Scheffler off with a pretty big lead, and Shoffley's still in there as we speak. So, I mean, it's just unreal the years those guys have had. But Keegan, I sent him a text. He sent me a nice text back. You know, I worked with him for a lot of years.
Yeah.
And he's the captain, which is really cool. He got left off the team a year ago, and now they made him the captain for 2025, which is going to be played in New York, where he went to college, and it's going to be a crazy crowd. It's going to be a big deal, of course. Well, you know, the Ryder Cup's always a big deal, but for him to be the captain now is really, you know, I think, you know, just the biggest feather in his cap. You know, that's going to be astonishing. And the way he's playing right now, who knows? He might make the team.
You know, I might insert myself. It's been a while since the captain's played, but, you know, it's going to be a Bethpage Black. I've been up there for a couple of U.S. Opens, which were insane, to say the least. That's back when Phil was on the tour, and they loved that guy. That was pretty crazy. Because the first Open I went to, I swear that they razzed him all day long. And then years later, when they went back, they loved him. So, you know, obviously Phil won't be playing, but when he was at Bethpage Black, it was that New York crowd and New Jersey and Connecticut, they all come in, and it is something else. So it's going to be, and Keegan is one of those he will, you know, do the hands in the air trying to get the crowd engaged and stuff. So he does that anyway. He's a little instigator that way. So it's going to be insane next year at Bethpage, and I'm sure that my guest this hour, Jim McClain, is going to be there, and maybe we'll run into Jim there if we don't run into him before. But yeah, that's going to be something else. But
it really is. That's going to be one to go to see. I'm definitely going to go to that Ryder Cup just to be a part of. At least go for one day just to see the whole craziness. And the course is so great. One of the really great golf courses in America. It's a Tillinghast Gym. For those that don't know, Tillinghast did Wingfoot and Baltus Roll and Quaker Ridge, where I was a pro a long time ago. But he did and San Francisco Golf Club and many others. So Bethpage is one of his greatest, and it's going to be a really big deal, but that's in 2025. It's a ways off, but it's going to be a big deal.
It's a ways off. It's going to be interesting to see how the team gets put together. And you mentioned Xander and Scotty, and I was looking just earlier today at the money difference. So Xander, number two, and he's got about $15 million, and Scotty's number one, and Scotty has like 30-something million. It's in one season. It's crazy.
Well, yeah, Shoffley's had a year like very few people have ever had, and Shoffley won two majors. So they really, really separated themselves. In any normal year, if you won two majors, you'd definitely be player of the year. But Shoffley won the gold medal, of course, and he won a major. And I don't know, I guess he won maybe seven other tour events. He won a lot of those, the biggest ones as well. And he separated himself with all the statistics on the tour. So I think he's probably going to be the player of the year.
You are a guy who breaks down the golf swing probably as much or more than anybody else and do it at the top level. What do you see in Scottie Scheffler's swing that makes him so consistently good?
Well, it's a mind-boggling swing for most of us to look at, but we look at his footwork. Of course, that's the first thing that everything stands out. His feet move quite a bit in his swing. He moves away from the golf ball, which is kind of, it's called a counterfall, where you move away like a side-style soccer kicker does in football. Or when you're throwing a baseball, your body moves away. And more young players are doing this in golf. A lot of players have done this in the past. I think Johnny Miller would be another guy from going in the past that had that same footwork. And there have been others. But he exemplifies a movement with the feet that we always used to think about stable feet being the right way to swing. But the way the guys are hitting the golf ball now, they're hitting it so far. But Scheffler also hits it unbelievably straight. His numbers are incredible. He's by far the best ball striker on the planet. So he's got some strange stuff. He's got a very upright swing. He releases the club kind of early, and then he has a huge lateral move going through. But, you know, you got to be great from halfway down to halfway through, and that's really what the golf swing is. There are so many different swings on the PGA Tour, and Scheffler's got one of the really different golf swings. But obviously it works, and you got to give his teacher, who is Randy Smith, a lot of credit for not changing this guy, because he was a great junior golfer, a U.S. junior champion and a U.S. amateur champion. He's been great his whole life, but he didn't change his swing. So it's an interesting one to study for sure.
It sounds to me like if Scottie Scheffler wasn't on the professional ranks and he went to a Jim McLean golf school, he would be in big trouble. There's so many issues there, and I know Jim would address those.
No, I think, you know, what you really got to look at, you know, what I learned a long time ago from playing with a lot of good players is, you know, how do they hit the golf ball? Can they do it under pressure? And that's what Scheffler does. So if somebody can do something different, like Trevino, let's say, or other players that we look, Jim Furyk, who have odd-looking swings but hit the ball great, and say Jordan Spieth, guys that have really different-looking swings, there have been a lot of players that have changed their swing and gotten worse.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So some people just have their natural way. You look at that with baseball pitchers and baseball hitters that have been great but do it their own way. So it's just that natural ability that they have and their ability to hit the center of the club face time after time and hit the ball long and straight. I mean, it's just, a miracle, really, to see it. But some, you know, there's a few guys that can, and girls that can do it.
Indeed. With Jim McLean back to wrap up the show after this break. Pleasure to spend time with a great guy, Jim McLean. Great instructor, a better golfer than he lets on. Let me tell you, this guy made the cut at the Masters. You know, I hung out at the Masters with him, but we were on the putting green and such. I didn't get a chance to see him play, but you made the cut in the Masters. That's a big deal, pal.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's something you don't forget. So that was a time that you remember a long time ago. But Yeah, you know, you still try to hit balls, keep playing, keep trying to hit the shots, and being able to demonstrate the shots for your students, I think, is a really, you know, a really important part of teaching. I know it's possible to be a good teacher and not be able to play, but it's always, I think it's always a big help to be able to demonstrate the shots, hit the shots, hit all the different types of bunker shots and all the shots around the green, and then, you know, you get the attention of your students.
And speaking of students, I know that you're big supporters of not just great golf courses at the renowned places, but municipal golf courses obviously are so paramount, especially when you talk about mm-hmm. that student range of 9 handicap to 25.
Well, I've always worked at, since with my schools, I worked at public golf courses my whole time. I started down at Doral. I was out of PGA West, and then other places up into Traverse City. And now I'm at the Biltmore Hotel and also at Miami Beach Golf Club. They're both public courses. The Biltmore is a municipal course. But I happened to play a municipal course up here in Washington last week at Gold Mountain called the Olympic course at Gold Mountain, which I played Torrey Pines. I played Beth Page, and I think it might be the best municipal course I've ever played. And there are other really great public courses. And I think that's a really big thing in America, that we continue to have places where anybody can go play and it's open to everybody. And I think that's really an important thing. And it got left behind before, but I think we're doing a better job nowadays.
I was talking to my friend John Ashworth of Ashworth fame and clothing, and he's out with Goat Park in California doing great things. And I talked to him recently. We just stay in touch, and we're going to hopefully see him in Orlando. He didn't make Frisco. But he said, you know, I said, you got this clothing line going on. How's that going? He says, I really stepped aside. I'm putting so much time into Goat Park, and it's doing so well and everything else. I mean, there are these guys, and I think you're in there too because you teach at a lot of those municipalities. But there are certain courses, public courses, that are just near and dear to certain people, and they want to just dedicate themselves to those projects.
Yeah, well, you know, golf's always been more of an elitist sport, and it's nice when you can get be more inclusive, which is a big part of what's happening in America in the last, say, 20 years anyway. And, I think it's really nice when we can do things for everybody, to give everybody a chance to play this great game.
Yeah, I think it's so important. I mean, you know, First Tee is run by the PGA Tour, and they've done some good things and tried to do some good things over the years, and hasn't always moved in the direction they want. But you know, it's so important because golf is so expensive across the board, whether it's equipment, whether it's tee times, whatever it is, it's just expensive.
Yeah, it's not a cheap sport. There's almost everything is expensive now. From skiing to everything. I guess golf's just going to always remain as a pretty expensive sport. But if we can get kids in to play and give them a chance, especially at these public golf courses, to give them a chance to get started in the game, and eventually they might join a private golf course. But there's some really nice public golf courses right now, and I just mentioned that. That one, there was actually 36 holes of golf up there, and there's some other great places here in Seattle. The Seattle Parks Clubs are really good. Freddie Couples grew up at Jefferson Park Golf Course. He wasn't at a private course, and you definitely see some of these kids that didn't have a lot of things that really were able to excel and go on to play college golf or even maybe go onto the PGA Tour.
Yeah, you never know where they're going to end up, but it's we're ending up the show. Special thanks to Jim McClain, the legend. Yes, indeed. Don't worry. We'll trick him into coming back on as soon as possible. But he's enjoying life. He's enjoying teaching. This guy is nonstop. If you don't find him at his own golf school, you might find him at a municipal course near you. We're just out of time. Get out there and practice your game. Jim would want you to. Practice, practice, Take your game to the next level, and we will talk to you next week. Take care.